like to turn this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Book of Matthew, chapter 5. I'd like to read verse 13. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus, of course, is doing the speaking here. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth, that is, from the point that it's lost its savor, good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Now this, of course, is a portion of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, records that sermon. The subject of the sermon is how people of the kingdom, God's kingdom, are to live upon the earth. And in this sermon, Jesus teaches what kind of people God's people ought to be, both inwardly and outwardly. It is a sermon filled with instruction on how to live life to its fullest, how to live the abundant life. In verses 3 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5, Christ speaks of the character that a child of God needs to possess in order to live this kind of life that he describes here in the Sermon on the Mount. And then beginning with our text, verse 13 through verse 16, Christ speaks of the function and the purpose of the child of God in this world. That is, we are light, we are salt, and we are light. And that is our function, and that is our purpose in the world. He clearly identifies our relationship to the world. So from these verses, verses 13 through 16, it's clear that the child of God is not someone who is to live in isolation. He's the salt of the earth. He's the light of the world. He's not to go into hibernation. He is to have a public testimony before the world. So I want to speak this morning on the child of God's impact upon the world. Our text contains a twofold statement by Christ. First of all, there is a fact stated concerning the function and the purpose of the child of God in the world. And then secondly, there is a danger that is mentioned that we must avoid. But first of all, we want to look at the function and the purpose of the child of God in the world. Christ uses the metaphor of salt to describe us. He says very plainly, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He does not say, "You have the opportunity of being the salt of the earth." He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He does not say, "You can be," or "You should be." He simply says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Literally, that means ye and ye alone are the salt of the earth. So again, if you are here and saved, ye are the salt of the earth. Again, this is much more than you have the opportunity of being such. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, salt is a miracle. Salt is a miracle. It is composed of two poisons, chloride and sodium. You ingest either by itself, you will die. And that's what salt is made of. But you put these two things together, and you have common, ordinary salt. It's a miracle. And Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. And every child of God is a miracle. We are a miracle of God's saving grace. We're all miracles. And we've all been left on earth to be the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. Now on the surface, such a statement seems to be of minor significance. Because to you and I, salt is very common, relatively inexpensive. In our society, in our day and age, we don't think much about salt. You may think it's just what's in that little container that sits on your kitchen table. We don't give much significance to salt. But in Bible times, people had a completely different perspective concerning salt. In Bible times, it was one of the most important, one of the most valuable elements in their culture. It was of extreme value. It had a very definite function. And Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. Salt was so important that sometimes it was used for money. The Roman soldiers in Jesus' day were at times paid with salt. You hear the saying, he's not worth his salt. That's where that comes from. Salt was how they were paid. Many times. We get our word salt comes from the Latin word salarium, which again means salary. Again, referring back to salt being used to pay one's wages. Now, if you were paid with salt, you'd have a whole different perspective on the value of salt. So if you're saved, no matter where your place is in the world, and no matter what your circumstances are, Jesus says ye are the salt of the earth. That is our function. That is our purpose, to be the salt of the earth. Now, salt is different from wherever it is placed. And salt being different, that's how it functions. That's how its qualities are displayed. Salt is different from the meat in which it is placed. And Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. That is, we're a miracle just like salt, and we are different. We are different from the earth. When you become the same as the earth, you have lost your savor and thenceforth good for nothing. That is, you've lost your very function and your purpose for being here. So if you and I are saved, we are different from everybody that is not saved. We don't have to try to be different. We are different. We're different because the Lord saved us. We're different because the Lord has changed us. We're separate. We're unique. And this is to be obvious. This is to be clearly recognized by all that come into contact with us. So ye are the salt of the earth. Now, the function of each child of God in the world is described by that phrase, ye are the salt of the earth. And that's true. That's true no matter what the season of your life. That's true no matter where God has placed you in this world. And God has placed you some specific place in this world. And he has done so. And you are to function. And your purpose is to be the salt of wherever you're placed. You are to be the salt in your little corner of the world. You say, well, my life doesn't have much of an impact on a whole lot of people. That doesn't matter. Ye are the salt of the earth.
That is, wherever your place is in this world, you are to function as salt in this world. Well, you don't understand. I've got a lot of problems, and I've got a lot of burdens, and I've got this, and I've got that. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are, ye are the salt of the earth. That is your function. That is our function today as children of God. Now, salt is necessary for health and life. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt, of course, is absolutely essential to the well-being and existence of anyone living in a very, very hot climate. It's necessary for their body metabolism, and that's why people who work in a very hot climate will find it necessary to take salt tablets. It's essential. It's essential to their health. It's essential to their life, and the life of a true Christ follower. The life of one who is truly following Jesus Christ, doing what they're supposed to do, that individual provides to the health and the vitality and the well-being of society. We are the salt of the earth. The responsibility of every child of God is to live in such a way as to contribute to the well-being of society. To contribute to the well-being will break it down in your little corner of the world. If you're the only saved individual in your family, you are the salt of that home. And you are to contribute to the well-being of that home. You are to contribute to the well-being of everybody you come in contact with. And you will do that if you live the life that you're supposed to live. You are the salt of the earth. Doesn't matter. It does not matter this morning how many people we come in contact with. That's not the issue. The issue is however many people or however few people you may come in contact with, you are to contribute to their well-being. That is, you're to make the world a better place. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is, of course, a preservative. Obviously, people in Bible times were not as privileged as we are with refrigeration. So salt became very important in their ability to preserve their food. And therefore, salt was rubbed into meat before it was stored. And this would, of course, just hinder the process, the natural process of decay. In other words, salt wards off rot and decay. And ye are the salt of the earth. God help us if we ever contribute to the rot and decay of society. We are the salt of the earth. The world, of course, is filled with corruption, filled with disintegration. We live in a time of great godlessness. We live in a time when many are sinful. Many are rebellious and ungodly. They live degrading and filthy and vile lifestyles. And Jesus says to you and I, ye are the salt of the earth. That is, your life is to ward off the rot and the decay of society. And yet today we see rot and decay in our society is on an accelerated pace. And we like to contribute that to the times in which we live. And no doubt that has something to do with it. But let's be honest, this also has something to do with it. God's people have lost their savor. And they no longer have the influence on their little corner of the world to ward off rot and decay. Ye are the salt of the earth. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the world and the times in which we live. He's fully aware of it. And He says, ye are the salt of the earth. That is, you are to ward off the rot and the decay of society. Now, the life of a true Christ follower contributes to the preservation, not the downfall, of society. And we must make sure that our life never contributes to the downfall of anyone, but that instead it contributes to the preservation of their life. So our responsibility is to be a preservative to society. That's just our little corner of the world, wherever that might be. Salt, of course, is for cleansing. Not only draws putrefying matter out of meat, but also was a remarkable cleansing agent, had a remarkable cleansing ability. We read about Elisha. He cleansed the waters of Jericho with salt. We read in Ezekiel chapter 16 that newborn babes were washed in salt to cleanse and to disinfect their bodies. Salt had a very powerful cleansing effect, and Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." That is, we should live lives that have a cleansing effect, not a polluting effect, upon our little corner of the world. And if our lives begin to have a polluting effect upon our little corner, then we've lost our savor. We've lost our very ability to function and to fulfill our purpose. We see also salt was used for healing. In Bible times, of course, there were no Rite Aids. There were no drug stores. So if someone was injured, they would bathe themselves in salt, and this served, of course, as a sterilization agent. And the life and the influence of a child of God that follows Jesus Christ should be a help in the healing of broken hearts. It should be a help in the healing of broken lives and broken homes. And we know today that only the Lord can heal. But many times He uses the life and the example of a child of God to bring healing. Ye are the salt of the world, of the earth. So our responsibility is to live in such a way as to have a healing and strengthening effect upon others. In our little corner of the world, wherever it is that God has placed us, the way we live our lives is to have a strengthening effect upon the lives of others. It is to have a healing effect upon the lives of others, not vice versa. That's our responsibility. That's our function. We also know that salt is used for seasoning. When added to food, of course, it unleashes the flavor. It adds flavor. And just as salt adds zest and fires up the taste buds, so God's people should do the same. The way we live our lives should make life more appealing to others. Just as when you put salt on food, it makes it more appealing. The way you and I live our lives, again, we break it down to our little corner, to our little corner of the world, is to make life more appealing to those around us. That is, we live our lives in such a way that they say, you know, I would like that kind of life. I would like the kind of life that you have. I would like that kind of peace that you have. Our life should be make life more appealing to others. It should create a thirst. When you take a handful of salt and put it in your mouth, you're going to be thirsty. Salt creates thirst. In our lives, the way we live our lives should create a thirst. People ought to desire what we have. People ought to desire the life that we have. And again, I'm not talking about the entire earth. You and I do not impact the entire earth, but we do impact our little corner of the earth. And you're the salt of the earth. And I believe the Lord has people everywhere. And therefore, that influence of a Christ-centered life should be everywhere seen upon the earth. If we just are salt in our little corner of the earth, that's all we're to do. That's our function. That's our purpose. To be salt in our little corner of the world. That people would thirst, that they would never say, if that's a Christian, I never want to be one. That no one would ever point to our life and say, if that's what they call happiness, if that's what they call joy, I don't want any part of it. But our lives ought to create a thirst where people are intrigued by the way that we live our lives. They may not agree with it, but they cannot help but notice that we have something that they do not have. And they want it. You're the salt of the earth. That people would look at our lives and say, you know, that's what I want my life to be. That's what I want my life to be. That's a testimony. That's evidence that you've had impact in your little corner. So when we take the call of Christ seriously, we live right, we look right, we talk right, we have the ability to create a thirst in the hearts of those around us. And this is what Jesus is saying when he says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt also has a penetrating effect. Salt will penetrate and infiltrate whatever it touches. That ought to be our life. Our life ought to be one that penetrates and infiltrates whatever we touch. Salt is a very aggressive substance. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. By being aggressive, that simply means we are to be active. We are to be active, an active force in our little corner of the world. That is part of the problem today with our society. Is that God's people have become completely passive. We have let the world spew their blasphemy without saying anything. We've become passive. In other words, we've lost our savor. We've forgotten why we're here. Salt is to be aggressive. Even in the Great Commission, or not in the Great Commission, but in Matthew 16 and verse 18. When Jesus, speaking of his church, said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A gate was a mode of defense. A gate was never on the offense. A gate was put there for defense, which implies that the church is to be on the offense, and the gates and all the defenses that the world can set up cannot prevail against it. But we've lost sight of that. And we say, well, what can we do? We're so few. Ye are the salt of the earth. That is, wherever God has placed you in your little corner of the earth, you are to penetrate that little corner. You are to make a difference. A positive difference in that little corner of the earth. Salt changes things. And our lives ought to change things for the good. Not for the bad. But our lives ought to change things for the good. And Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. So our lives are to have an impact upon all those around us. But then notice There is a danger. State it. If. Now the word if states a possibility. If the salt have lost his savor. Or if the salt have lost its saltiness. It's a possibility. The word if indicates that. These words warn us of the danger that exists in all of our lives. You're the salt of the earth. You are the salt wherever God has placed you, you are to be salt. But there is a danger. The salt can lose its saltiness. And if salt loses its saltiness, it loses its effectiveness. It ceases to function. That is a possibility. That is a possibility in all of our lives. And if such occurs, that's a disgrace. It's a disgrace because thenceforth it's good for nothing. It's lost its very purpose. It also speaks of a disaster. If salt loses its ability to perform its function, that's a disaster. I want to say today, if you're saved, you're the salt of the earth. Wherever God has placed you in your little corner, you're the salt of that earth, that little place. And if you somehow lose that impact, you somehow lose that influence, that is a disaster. Not only is it a disaster to you, but it's a disaster to all those who are affected by your life. Because you no longer have that influence that you ought to have on their lives. How do we lose that saltiness? By becoming like the earth. We're to be different. We're the salt of the earth. But when we come so much in contact with the earth that we become like the earth, we've lost our saltiness. We lose our saltiness when we lose our Christ-likeness. When we lose our saltiness, we've lost our testimony. You can still talk about the Lord, but people laugh at you. Listen to him. He's telling me how to live, and I don't do half the things he does. That individual's lost their saltiness. They've lost their impact, and thenceforth, good for nothing. Now, the phrase good for nothing means that it's lost its force. It's lost its influence. It's no longer fulfilling its function as salt. We can do that in many ways. We can lose our soundness of faith. We can lose our holiness of life. But I will say this. When a child of God loses their saltiness, they will do more hurt, they will do more harm to the Lord's work than the vilest people on earth. They are the ones that will bring the harm. And sad to say today, but the average so-called Christian in the average so-called church is almost indistinguishable, I can't even say the word, from the rest of the world. You can't tell the difference. You look at most today and you can't tell the difference whether they're saved or lost. Because the salt has lost its effectiveness. Once salt has lost its saltiness, it no longer functions for which it was intended. So one is saved, not just so they can go to heaven. We're left here to be a faithful witness for God. We are left here to bring glory to the Lord. And just as salt that loses its savor no longer fulfills the function for which it was intended, when you and I lose our influence and testimony for God, we no longer can fulfill the function which we were intended. It's time to get right with God. They that lose their ability to contribute to the spiritual well-being of the unsaved, to the spiritual well-being of the saved, to the spiritual well-being of the Lord's church, they no longer have a godly influence that contributes to the spiritual health and vitality of others, but instead their influence is destructive to spiritual health. It would be a terrible, terrible testimony if someone invites someone to Home Baptist Church and they say, well, isn't that where so-and-so goes? And you say, yeah, and say, well, don't expect me ever to be there. Because that person's a liar and a cheat. That person's done more damage than all those out in the world can possibly do. God help us to be the salt the earth, that we never lose our ability to contribute to the good, to the benefit of those, that our influence would never ever contribute to the downfall of someone spiritually. But we always want to be an encouragement. Those who've lost their saltiness lose their ability to be a cleansing and disinfecting force in their little corner of the world. They lose their ability to promote cleanliness. Instead, their influence promotes pollution. They lose their ability to bring spiritual healing to others. They no longer have an influence that strengthens. They no longer have an influence that encourages others spiritually. How sad it is if you're the only saved person in your corner of the earth and you can bring no spiritual comfort to anyone in your corner of the earth. That you cannot have any spiritual impact. Doesn't matter where it is. It could be the job. It could be school. It could be our neighborhood. Wherever it is, we all have people that we have an impact upon. And we're never, ever to lose our saltiness. Ye are the salt of the earth. What a privilege. What an honor. What a responsibility. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of your little part of the earth. Ye are the salt of your home. Ye are to be salt before your spouse. You are never, ever, ever to contribute to the spiritual downfall of your spouse. You're always to be an encouragement and a strength spiritually. You are the salt of your children. Do not ever contribute to the spiritual downfall of your children. Now, your children may spiritually fall, but you have to make good and sure that you are not the contributing factor for that downfall. You are the salt of your grandchildren. You are the salt to your friends. And we all have unsaved friends that we are acquainted with. We must never forget our function. We are salt. We are salt. That's what we're there for. We are salt to our neighbors, to our classmates, to our co-workers. None of these things are accidents. Everybody that is in our life on purpose. And where God has placed us in this world is on purpose, so that you and I can be the salt of that little part of the earth. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about being the salt of the entire earth. It's a big enough job just trying to be the salt of my little corner. of the world. And that's true of all of us. So we are here today to be the salt of the earth. That leads to the question, are you fulfilling your function? Are you fulfilling your purpose? I don't even know why I'm here. Well, I don't want you to go from here today wondering why you're here. If you're saved, you're here. You are the salt of the earth. That's why you're here. You're here to have an impact upon others because of what God has done in your life. We come to the end of our life. It ought to be said that individual had a positive impact, had a positive influence on my life. There's an individual that made a difference in my life simply because of the way they lived. May that be said of all of us. Whether they agree with us or not, they say, that person had an impact. That person made my world a little better. God help us to be the salt of the earth. That's what we're here for. Brother Larry, if you'd come.